Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Testy. It's episode 169. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you're getting your podcast. Subscribe, rate 5 stars, leave a comment. Find us on YouTube on the WEEI channel. You can find the Play Testy playlist there. It has all of our episodes. And so you can hit the thumbs up on those videos. We really appreciate it. And you can always, always find us on the social accounts at Play Testy on both Twitter and Instagram. Here with Sammy, here with Pat, just one day after the three of us and Joe took on Fenway Fest. I keep almost calling it Winter Weekend or Winter Fest. We went to Fenway Fest. And you know what? I'll tell you, I know it wasn't like a super high, like the attendance wasn't crazy high and a bunch of the best players like weren't there. Like Devers wasn't there. Duran wasn't there. Bueller wasn't there. Bayo wasn't there. Cutter wasn't there. Marcelo wasn't there. And a lot of those were late scratches, presumably, hopefully, because of travel concerns and not because they just bailed. I don't think they would just bail. I'm sure that there was a lot of travel concerns with what's going on in the world right now. But the event as a whole, it exceeded my expectations. I thought it was a good event. I thought people were in generally good spirits. The main theme when you talk to fans was they just want to see a little bit more from the team. But like we've been to these events in past years. This is now our third straight year doing this. And the last 2 years, the common theme was just anger. And people were just mad. And people were going, and they were going with like a mission to yell and to boo and to tell the team how they feel. This time around, like there wasn't any of that. People were appreciative of things. Like Garrett Crochet got introduced, put on his jersey. And people loved it. He got, you know, a huge hand, but yeah, it was a lot of like, what's next? Like Get Bregman was like a huge thing with people this weekend. Like obviously you surely saw what Alex Cora said, like that guy couldn't want Alex Bregman more, but overall, I thought the event was going to, I don't want to say I thought it was going to stink because I didn't think it was going to stink. I thought it would be worse. I don't think it was as good because we've talked about a lot of the things that made the past events great, like the town hall and the being at a casino where you can drink and gamble, and like the Red Sox players and staff are all walking around like Disney World characters or something at the casinos. Like that factor wasn't there anymore, and that stunk. But the truth is, like the event was good and people liked it. That's what I thought. What'd you guys think?
It was fun. I think not every Major League Baseball team does a winter event like this. A lot of them do, but not all. So I guess better than nothing. It's definitely not as fun as Winter Weekend for the reasons you just explained, Gordo. It felt a lot smaller than Winter Weekend. At Winter Weekend, you're walking around the casino, and everywhere you look, there's a face you recognize, either a coach, a player, someone you know from talking Red Sox, or, you know, this was just a much smaller version of that, kind of, and at Fenway and not in a casino. It was much warmer than I expected. I thought it was going to be freezing cold all day and uncomfortable. It wasn't. And it seemed like people had a good time. To your point saying the rage wasn't there like it was the last 2 years, I agree with you there. It felt more like people were positive but a little annoyed still, much less angry though. So that was nice to see. And yeah, I mean, I had a good time. And I think people were complaining about the price. And the more I think about it, $85 for all that access and then you get a game ticket, it's not that bad. So yeah, I guess solid job by the Red Sox. It was a little bit disorganized, but whatever, man. We all had a good time.
I think with the price, it's just like, obviously people would have rather paid like $35 or $40 and not gotten the game ticket. Obviously the Red Sox feel that they need to do things like this to sell tickets, which I think is fair with the performance the last several seasons. I think that they're going to be a better team and hopefully it's not something they'll need to do like that in the future. But yeah, I mean, I agree the rage wasn't there. We obviously, we had a really good time. We all did the radio. Sammy got to talk to Loomer. I mean, we all did it with Bradfo, and Sammy got to talk to Loomer Loney and Liam Hendricks. I got to go on with Tristan Casas, and that's always a fascinating conversation. I thought he did a great job of handling the questions about the trade rumors across the day. Like, he got asked plenty of times about it, and I don't think he slipped up once. I think he answered it exactly how he should have. And then Pat got to go on for the last hour, talked with Christian Campbell and Roman Anthony, who, by the way, is absolutely ginormous, and he's still only 20 years old. My God, he is crazy big.
Got bigger.
Yeah, he got bigger.
When we saw him in Portland last year, I remember thinking, okay, this is a kid. He looks like a corner outfielder, but he's massive. That is a big dude. Like, you notice him when he walks in the room, not just because he's Roman Anthony, just like the guy's a unit. So
yeah,
he's a growing boy. How weird is that?
Yeah, still 20, could get bigger. Pat, what did you think of the event? How was it talking to the kids?
Oh, the kids are great. I met Roman before, and so it was nice to see him again. Campbell, it was cool for the first time. You can tell the difference between the two. Like, you can tell Roman is kind of through that process now. Like, he's kind of media trained, like, comfortable in an interview. Christian Campbell was actually like a little more reserved, quiet, kind of shy. Like, didn't, you could tell it was his first time kind of going through it. But no, they were great. Overall thoughts, I think me and Sammy were talking about it when we were walking outside yesterday. I'd give it like a 6.1 out of 10.
Where's the extra 0.1 coming from?
just for, you know, it's a little bit better than an even 6, but it's not a 6.5. MGM was like great because Friday you kind of get up there, welcome event, casino, drink, wake up the next morning, and then it's all the fan stuff, and then everyone kind of filters out, you know. This year, it just, not that it felt rushed, but it kind of just felt like pretty like compact. Like, it was bing, 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 like everything's all done in whatever it was, 6 hours, 7 hours, and everyone's gone.
Smaller. It was, just felt smaller.
Smaller. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did either of you guys ever go to the Foxwoods one? I never went to that one. No. Nah. So yeah, like, you talk to people, everyone always talks about the Foxwoods one, and like, that was the GOAT time period of the winter events for the Red Sox. And like, but we had such a good time, and it makes me think about how good the Foxwoods ones really were, because we always had an awesome time at the MGM ones. And you know, I really, the thing that I keep coming to here, and we haven't even touched on it yet with the Netflix preview that they showed, I do think that without that, this, like, paying $85 for what people got there would have been a tough sell, but the Netflix thing kind of saved it, because that was a really cool experience. I mean, obviously getting to hear from the director, hear from some of the biggest stars of the docuseries. They had a panel with the director and Cora and Story and Casas and Willier Abreu. And the previews that they showed of that thing, like, man, that thing is going to be so good. It's going to be, I think, 8 hours of this season. It's going to, the previews they showed, there was some clips of Tristan Casas in there. Not like necessarily being goofy, like, just like being real. Like, there was an incredibly raw and real clip of him rolling over a ground ball to second base and just cussing himself out and being so mad at himself. And I can relate to it, because like, I literally played first base all throughout like my childhood, and I was really hard on myself when I would get out. And like, I remember making the third out of it of innings and like going to first base and throwing ground balls to the infielders and cussing myself out and like watching Tristan Casas do it. He's like, this guy's throwing 90 fucking miles an hour. Like, this guy sucks. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And it's like, damn, that's real. Like, that's what this looks like. Like, I know you see it. He grounds out and they cut to commercial, but like, no, like, this is real. Like, you, if you played baseball as a kid, you know how it feels. And this is obviously a much more pressure packed and like meaningful situation than Little League. But I thought it was really cool to see those things, to hear those guys talk and to see a lot of the behind the scenes. I thought the Netflix thing for the people that paid to get into this event was probably the biggest sell of the day.
Yeah, I think the preview, the clips that we saw look so much, not that I thought documentary was going to be bad or anything, but seeing like how much it entails, like get like Bailey and Bayo in the clubhouse between innings going through scouting reports on the guys coming up, like you hear Alex Cora tell someone they're getting pitch hit for, like that, all of that is like so cool. And it does, like, we know how it ends. I said it on radio yesterday, we know how the story ends and it's not fun. Seeing that, I was like, this is going to be great. Like, this is going to be really cool. And then on top of that, and we'll kind of get back to this when we kind of talk about overall thoughts or whatever, but if this, if Fenway Fest becomes a thing moving forward, right, what the hell do you do? Because 50% of the day was the Netflix documentary. Guess what?
I agree with you, Pat.
The Netflix documentary. So I don't know. We'll,
I thought the preview looked awesome. Like, really, really, I expected a lot just because, you know, they were there for 162 games. They had to have gotten some cool stuff, but that actually exceeded my expectations, if I'm being totally honest. That looked so exciting. I agree, Pat, the scouting report where he was like, JP Crawford, the passive hitter or something, or like kind of aggressive, but if it's a fastball, I don't know. I don't remember the scouting report for JP Crawford, but that was a really cool scene. But I got to be honest with you. I was bored out of my mind during the panel.
Oh, I mean, just, the panel, yeah, the panels, whatever. Yeah.
People were like, we want more panels. I'm like, why? Why? What's, I don't know. Like, what can Cora and Trevor Story and Casa say on a panel that's going to be interesting? That's like the most canned setting for answers you can get. But hey, people like them. Maybe I'm not the demographic for the panel with my ADHD. So, whatever. I thought, though, the preview, unbelievable. I am so much more excited for that Netflix documentary now. And I already was excited. You know, I was being all sourpuss about it when it first was announced. I'm like, I'm not going to watch this. Obviously.
That was a brutal. You were obviously going to watch it, Sammy.
I know. I know. I was. You had to let me simmer. But yeah, man. Anyway, looked really cool. I like that they had like a voiceover from Carrabas for a second, which was cool because that's like dipping into the, you know, Red Sox Twitter, Red Sox social media people. So maybe we'll hear some of that. Like, the fans get mixed in. You got to see, you know, the Bayo freaking out, not freaking out. That's unfair. Bayo stressing out in the opening day start in Seattle. That was really interesting. Just so much just from that preview alone. I can't wait for the actual thing.
Sammy, are you suggesting that people in the doc might hear a certain podcast with four guys that just kind of got started?
Well, they never reached out to us. They never reached out to us, so I would assume we're not in it. At least
I don't think they would have to. I think they would just have to. I don't think they would have to get our permission. The four of us, I mean. I think it would just be like Odyssey or.
Well, they could. Yeah, I guess they could have reached out to E. I think if we were going to be in it, it would more likely be like Weekend Radio.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be in. I don't think we're going to be in the documentary.
I don't think so either.
I think our best shot of being in this is in the background.
Yes.
And if we are, I better have my own fucking IMBD page. I swear to God.
Yo, you need, I think you need like 10 words or 10 lines or something. There's like a minimum for that.
I didn't know that. For an IMBD page?
Maybe it's not for an IMDb page. But
well, I really have no idea how it works.
Just talking about,
I just thought it was like Wikipedia, like where people just did it.
The only game where I was like, because we talked about it in the moment, was when we were there and Tristan was rehabbing, like right in front of the dugout, and the cameras were on him. We were like right behind Tristan. Mm-hmm. We were all like,
Pat, do you remember who he was talking to in that moment?
Who Tristan was?
Yeah. maybe this was a different time. If I remember right, he was so they there was Netflix cameras very like overtly like holding up like a boom mic over a conversation.
Yankee? Yeah.
A certain Yankee?
No, it was Barrel Man. It was Costas and Barrel Man.
I thought you were gonna say I thought you were going Verdugo there. Pat, you'll get an IMDb page and it'll be Irish American guy in crowd at Red Sox game number 478,592. That'll be huge.
There we go.
Start.
Did they say they don't have a date exactly when this thing is dropping? Right. I think it's like supposed to be like March or April.
March. I don't think they've announced something.
It. Yeah. No. So
they're not even done with it yet. They're still like the graphics that we saw yesterday were all temp, and the audio is not completely cleaned up yet. The director, Greg.
It's one of them, and I think Costas messed up the name at some point.
That's why I can't remember, because Costas called him the wrong one, and I can't remember which name is G. Director G said that it's not 100% done, so they're really putting in work for this. I'm fired up. This is going to be really cool.
It's going to be good. Okay, another thing from the day, another piece of I don't want to say a piece of news, just kind of like a hints that we picked up on from the comments. Like Sam Kennedy was talking about how he wants to get multiple young guys on the team extended. Didn't specify as to who. Obviously, Rob and Pat asked on the radio, both Roman and Christian Campbell, if the Red Sox have approached them about extensions. Obviously, both said no. Both kind of gave like smirks. I watched them answer the question. I didn't think that the looks they gave implied anything. I think that they just like know they're getting asked a pointed question and it's a little bit uncomfortable to answer. But Rob seemed to think that maybe there was like a chance that they could be just saying what they know they need to say, and maybe they've had those discussions. But the guy that we do know has had those discussions is Garrett Crochet, who we've said since the second they made that trade that he needs to get extended. And obviously he sounds open to it. He talked about how like he's just kind of getting a feel for the front office, how things go and stuff. But like, Crochet's camp has talked about it with the team. Sam Kennedy talked about how the rut happened because of Xander and Mookie Betts not getting extended, not being able to close those gaps early on in those discussion time periods, and they don't want to let that happen again. Well, if you don't want to let that happen again, the number one thing you got to do, extend Garrett Crochet. The number two thing you got to do, extend Roman Anthony. Those are my two top priorities. Every time I talk about extending Roman Anthony on Twitter, I get a bunch of shit from people who are like, he's never played a game. What if they extended Bobby Dalbec when he hadn't played a game? He crushed AAA.
Oh, my God. Like, what a terrible comparison that is. No,
the number one prospect in baseball. Come on.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Bobby Dalbec striking out 35% in AAA. That's a great comparison. I agree with you, Gordo. Priority number one, Crochet, and it's far and away priority number one. Like, if you don't extend Roman Anthony this year, it's okay. I'd like him to get extended. But if you don't extend Garrett Crochet this offseason, I won't even say like in the season, it should be in the offseason, then I don't know if I'd call it a disaster, but it would be really bad. Because then
it's probably over, right? Like, if they don't extend him early on in the season at the latest, doesn't it feel like? Because if they go this season and don't extend him, why would he sign anything?
Well, one of two things will happen. Well, actually, sorry. One of three things will happen. One, either he'll just be like, okay, cool, I'll take the extension now, and we kind of breathe a sigh of relief. We're like, oh, thank God. Two, he never gets extended, and then he hits the open market in 2 years. That is the absolute worst case scenario. And then three, maybe he pitches a little bit, and then they extend him, but it's for a lot more than we thought, which is kind of like the like in-between, like, all right, you got him extended, but Jesus, why didn't you get it done earlier? And we don't know how open he is to an extension. From what we've heard, it sounds like he's open to it.
He seems pretty open to it.
Who knows what's going on behind closed doors? Like, he's open to it, but he might be playing hardball. I just really hope that's the... Okay, here's a question for you guys. What would get you more fired up? Alex Bregman signing with the Red Sox or Garrett Crochet getting extended for 7 years by the Red Sox?
Crochet. Easy. Crochet.
Ooh. Okay. It's two different answers for me, because what would get me more fired up? It's Bregman.
Yeah.
What do I think they absolutely need to do more? It's Crochet. It's like what's the smart thing versus what's the thing that would get you excited? It's like it's two different things. It's
really
like,
I think the Crochet thing, because then in my head it's like he is a Red Sox. Like right now, it feels like he's here, but we don't know if he's here for the long run. We could see him leave in 2 years. Who knows? But if he gets extended, then that little inkling of worry in the back of my mind goes away, and I can be like, this is our guy, all in on Garrett Crochet. So, I'll be the dissenting opinion. I think the extension would be more exciting.
No, you're not dissenting. Pat took it. I'm the dissenting opinion.
Oh, you are the dissent. That's right. Pat took the extension. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was using a big word. I felt
you
really
can't,
cool.
You can't be the dissenting opinion, Sam. You're breaking the tie.
True.
It's tough because, like, I mean, seriously, I mean, do you guys agree with me that the big theme of the day was everyone just wants them to get Alex Bregman?
Our boy Tyler, sign guy, had a sign that literally said, make Alex Bregman an offer. It wasn't even sign Bregman. It was make him an offer. We probably have that pic somewhere, but that was...
He posted it online. It's great. He's awesome. I love seeing that guy around. But yeah, it just... We were talking to a lot of fans, and just every single one of them wants them to sign Bregman. You hear the quotes from Cora. He really wants them to sign Alex Bregman. You see the quotes from the players. Like Story was talking about. I mean, I maybe Story's quotes were more so in the context of Arenado, but like he obviously wants them to bring in more talent, regardless of where they play. Like, he just wants them to bring in a veteran presence, a good player to this team. They say they're not done. Sam Kennedy says the offseason is not over. They still have not spent to the level that they even did last year.
But there we go. There's Tyler.
There's the sign.
That's great. I will say one good thing. One good thing about a Sam Kennedy quote, and you're not going to hear me say this very often, so buckle up. I like how, I forget who it was, someone asked him, like, what's going to happen next? What are you guys looking to do? And he kind of just said, I don't know. There's a lot going on. I was so happy when he said that. I'm like, thank you. That's fine. That sounds like an honest answer. You didn't BS us. Just said, I don't know. A lot going on. Cool with me. I appreciated that. People didn't even notice it. That was probably my favorite thing he's ever said. I don't know. Great. That's fine.
Last year, when he was asked that question, I'm pretty sure he was like, we're happy if this is our team, which people were genuinely pissed about. Now he's like, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I appreciate that answer more than we're done, because at that point, guns blazing, the house fire. But
yeah, if you don't know, you don't know. I'm sure Breslow doesn't have 100%, you know, certainty of what's going to happen. There's a ton of moving parts. We're in the middle of January in the offseason, so... Yeah, I don't know. It was refreshing to hear Sam Kennedy say something that I don't have to think about. Like, is he telling the truth? Maybe he actually does know. Like, no, he doesn't. And that's okay.
I mean, last year, if you guys remember, right before winter weekend was when Breslow basically did like a media tour of interviews with newspapers, podcasts, whatever, and gave the same sort of catchphrase of, our spending this offseason is not indicative of what we're going to do in the future. Like, they basically and basically implied that, yeah, like, we're not, like, this is not, we're, oh yeah, he also said the catchphrase of, like, we're not going to sacrifice future wins for present wins. This year, like,
I hate that quote.
Yeah, it sucked. But this year we didn't get any of that. It definitely doesn't feel like they're done. But the question, like, because they are going to add a right-handed bat. They talk over and over again about needing to balance the lineup. Cora's new thing that he was rolling with, he rolled with that on Rob's podcast on Baseball Isn't Boring. He rolled with it when talking to a school. I forget where he went. And he said it again. I forget when. I think he said it during the press availability. But he was saying, like, rookies, like, guys, like, he wouldn't say names, but, like, obviously he's talking about Campbell, Anthony, and later on Meyer. It's like, we want these guys to contribute. They can't be expected to carry us. And he obviously, they talk about balancing the lineup. It's clear they're going to add more. It's just, as I always say, where does that bat fall on the Randall Grichuk to Alex Bregman scale?
Oh, I don't even want to hear about Randall Grichuk batting third. How bad does that sound?
Not great, but we're just going to have to wait and see, man. Like, I don't know when it's going to come to a head, but the Bregman signing is what's going to send all of this into a frenzy. The other thing that I found interesting, just to piggyback off of the Bregman thing, is Because if they don't get Bregman, the immediate eyes are going to turn to Nolan Arenado. Like, that seems like it's the pivot move if and when Bregman signs elsewhere. And Alex Cora yesterday was talking about how maybe Yoshida could play the outfield. Like, all last year, he's saying, we just don't want him playing the outfield. Like, we have better options defensively. Like, we want to play those guys out there. So Yoshida did not play the outfield last year. This weekend, he was saying, yeah, Yoshida didn't play the outfield last year because he was hurt, because he couldn't throw. And if and when he's healthy this year, like, we'd like to work him into the outfield mix. And I find that interesting just because obviously it's interesting in the context of last year. But the main reason I haven't been as, like, gung-ho on the Arenado thing is because I think that it almost certainly comes with them needing to trade Tristan Casas, because you have Devers, he's your guy, and Yoshida's unmovable. And so you can only have three of Devers, Casas, Yoshida, Arenado to play first, third, and DH. So that's kind of where it went. But now if Yoshida can be worked into the outfield mix, then maybe Yoshida gets a good amount of time in left field. That allows you to play Arenado full-time at third. Devers plays mostly DH, maybe gets some first base work in there. I don't know. But like it leaves you with more options, more flexibility, if Yoshida can play a little bit of left field. I don't know if he was telling the truth there. I don't know if maybe that's trying to, like, pump up trade value. Like, hey, like, he can play the outfield. I know we didn't play him there last year, but he can play it. But if he can play the outfield, if they're willing to play him out there, then there's a lot more that they can do with the roster.
Yeah, for sure. And that's part of why I've been saying, if he's not your starting DH, you got to find a way to get rid of him at any cost, because he's just taking up a bench spot. But if he can play left field, even if he's not good at it, that gives Cora so many more options. The question is, Gordon, you just said it, like, does he mean that? Or is this like, if it were a tweet, he would tag 29 other teams so that they'd all see it? Like, is it that kind of thing? Or is he really going to play Yoshida in left? Because, you know, he's not a good defender, but, like, if it's at Fenway, I think it's fine. I think he can be hidden at Fenway. I wouldn't want him playing left field every day at, like, in San Francisco or Seattle or Detroit, where the outfield is gigantic. But at Fenway, I don't think it's a big deal.
No, I think if he plays left, we said this all last year too, like, he should be able to play left field at Fenway Park, and you can have some pretty good offensive lineups out there if you get a good right-handed bat that, I mean, if DH is open, you can get that spot anywhere. That's why I like having DH as open as possible, and I haven't really been super excited about the idea of moving Devers there for the next decade, because if DH is open, everyone on the free agent market is at your disposal. Whatever free agent falls in your lap, and Cora talked about, you know, right-handed bats like Adam Duvall and Hunter Renfroe and Tyler O'Neill being able to kind of come to Boston on these short-term deals and have career years at Fenway Park from the right side of the plate. I when he says those names, my mind goes to Grichik, and maybe Grichik would have a really good year here. I wouldn't be super excited about it, but either which way, Yoshida being able to play the outfield gives you a lot more options, and it can only be a good thing. Pat, what do you think about that? Do you think he's serious?
Yeah, I agree with you guys that if Yoshida can genuinely play some outfield, that's so good for the roster flexibility, because I think in that circumstance, you're able to kind of shuffle around Arenado, Casas, and Devers if it comes to that. If you have Yoshida, who's only DHing, I don't know if he can fit all three. I think he will probably play some outfield, but I think it's also just trying to pump him up a little bit trade wise, because last year it was, you know, where he's not hurt, we just don't, he's just a really good DH. And then now that he's healthy and can throw, they're like, oh no, he can play outfield. He's great out there. Yeah, we'll use him out there. They're just kind of flip-flopping now, hurt, healthy, and then the narrative kind of flips. I'll believe it when I see it, but if he can play the outfield, that's great for the roster construction.
You know what I was thinking? I might double dip and pick Yoshida as my breakout guy of the year again.
Dude,
I might
do it. What is going on here?
If he's every day, I mean, dude, I've said it before. I like him if he's in the lineup every day. I just don't like him on the bench. Get rid of him if he's on the bench. But if he's hitting every day, that I don't know. I like him. I've always said this. I've been very consistent with my Yoshida takes.
Listen, so we'll I agree. I agree. That guy can't be coming off the bench. You want guys off the bench that add speed or can play multiple positions or fill in good defensively at a spot when a guy needs an off day or hit left-handed pitching because this lineup is so right-handed, so lefty hitter heavy. He fits none of those. He can't be coming off the bench. I agree with you on that. I'm definitely more okay with platooning him than you are, but regardless, like, I just there are so many more paths to improving the team if he can just play the field.
Just sign Alex Bregman. That allows you to keep Yoshida. It's so great. It's the perfect fit. You could DH him or have him play left field if you have Bregman in the lineup. Arenado hamstrings the Red Sox more than Bregman does. And it's very obvious why. Bregman can play second base. I think he could. He came up as a shortstop. Lou Maloney said it best. He's always looked at Bregman as a shortstop who's playing third base because he got bumped over by Correa and then he just stayed there. So, I think Bregman would be fine at second. So every single conversation we have about this damn team comes back to just sign Alex Bregman. I'm going to keep saying just sign Alex Bregman until the Red Sox sign Alex Bregman or he goes to Detroit and hits .262 with 10 home runs. So, sign Alex Bregman.
Cora thinks he'd be a Gold Glove second baseman.
Great. That's all I need to hear. Gold Glove second baseman, Alex Bregman. Sign him right now. Sign him yesterday. Sign him on January 11th as we record on January 12th, please.
Nothing funnier than Alex Cora in literally every time he's asked about him. It's now, I think, three consecutive times I've heard him asked about Bregman and he gives the same answer. It was on Rob's podcast. It was when we were there for the media availability and it was on Nesson with Tom Caron. And he's asked about Bregman and he goes, yeah, I mean, I obviously can't talk about specifics for a player that's not on the roster. And then he just proceeds to gush about him for like three straight minutes. It's the funniest thing. It's like, you know the rules. I cannot talk about him. Like, I cannot believe you're asking me this. But like, he's an incredible leader. He is such a good hitter from the right-handed side. He's an incredible defender. Like, he will be so good everywhere.
I can't talk about him, but if I could, here's what I would say.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny. He wants him so badly, and I feel for him because, I mean, we all see it. Everyone sees it.
Every box, dude. Every single box Alex Bregman checks. Like, on and off the field. And I know he's going to be 31. I don't fucking care. I don't care. I'm so over that. That was the big thing standing in the way of my mental block wanting Alex Bregman to be on the Red Sox. Right before the offseason started, when Red Sox were kind of cooked and we started looking at the free agents, I was like, I'm kind of so-so on Bregman. I have so thrown that out the window. I just want to see a winning baseball team, and there's nobody out there that makes the Red Sox a winning team quicker than that guy.
What changed my mind on it, because, I mean, if you go back to, like, earlier podcasts, especially, like, from, like, September or even October, like, the beginning of free agency when we talked about Bregman, and I wasn't high on him. In large part because I saw it as they would have to pay him to play third base, and Devers is either going to be a DH for the next 10 years or he's going to have to play first base and you're going to trade Tristan Casas. I just didn't think either of those paths improved you. But him playing second base, at least for this year, at least until you can figure out how to not cut bait entirely with Yoshida, be able to at least coup a little bit for the asset, pay down maybe not the entire contract to get rid of him. Bregman at second base for a year makes it a lot more palatable. Would I be concerned about the contract longer term? Yes. But, I mean, they traded for Garrett Crochet. They've shown you with that trade that this is a win now season. He has 2 years left on the deal. You got to push the chips in to win now. That's just how I feel about it. I mean, it feels wrong to be talking about Bregman as highly as we are after how we talked about him earlier. But that's just how the thought process changed, at least in my mind.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat too. I don't think any of us really saw. I think if you asked all of us in late October, early November, we were all thinking he was going to get $200 million, like $200 million. There's going to be a team out there that would maybe overextend and give him that. Now, I mean, we're talking like 5 or 6 years, 170, 180. Prorated, it's pretty much what Story got a couple of years ago. It's probably the same exact value as it would have been what Story got, you know? Second base is huge because it's so much cleaner. There's so much less shuffling. than if you do go out and get an Arenado. The fit is just so much cleaner. Is he going to be great if you give him 6 years and year, you know, four, five, six? Maybe not. But if he's like a veteran leader, guess what? That's exactly what you'd be trading for right now, Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter here. Say that again, Pat.
You don't need him to be a star in 3 or 4 years. You need him to be a veteran leader in 3 or 4 years.
Right, and you need him to be a veteran leader now, because right now, when Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell and Marcelo Meyer are trying to find their footing in the majors, who are the guys that they're going to turn to? Right now, Trevor Story, absolutely that guy. Jaron Duran, awesome leader by example, played every game he was able to last year outside of those two for the suspension. And, I mean, Rafi's just not going to be that guy. I think Casas last year kind of wanted to step into a more of a leadership role at the beginning of the year, but right now it kind of feels like he's kind of just fighting for his life with this team. So I don't know how much.
It's an underrated take. I kind of like that. Casas becoming a leader. I don't think we've discussed that on the show. He could totally. I mean, yeah. Think about when he was hurt and he was telling us about his hitting program that he does, you know, on a daily basis in the regular season. That guy is so dedicated to his craft. And I know people roll their eyes like, hey, he paints his nails, he does yoga. I don't care. He puts in the work and he puts up good numbers when he's healthy. So good point, Gordo. I think that if he sticks around, you know, if the Red Sox don't trade their young, team-controlled, middle-of-the-order bat, crazy, if they don't do that, then yeah, why couldn't he become a leader? That's an interesting one. I like it.
Well, you know what? The trade rumors need to stop, though, for it to happen. Because last year, this is a guy who was going to the rookie development program just to show the rookies there in the middle of the winter how he does it. And this winter, it's like, is this guy even going to be on the team? So, yeah, like, we want these guys to develop into leaders. Eventually, someone will with this team, especially, you know, if they make the postseason. Guys are going to have that experience and hopefully, I mean, obviously there is good leadership on the pitching staff right now. Like, Walker Buehler has been there, done that again. Giolito has been there, done that, at least in terms of regular season stats and making it through the regular season and eating innings. He has pitched in the postseason, maybe not to the extent that a guy like Buehler has. And then obviously you have Liam Hendricks in the bullpen. Aroldis Chapman has been there, done that several times. So you've got that on the pitching side of things. But with the offense, you are missing that. And it would be so easy to just plug and play Alex Bregman when Roman and Marcelo and Christian are at the cages before the game. And, you know, they're looking around the ballpark and, oh my God, like, I am playing my first, second, third, fourth, fifth big league game. Who do you want them to turn to seek out advice? Who's going to be there to wrap their arm around them and tell them, hey man, you're good. You got the talent. You've got this. Relax. Because it's gonna need to be more than just Trevor Story, especially if Trevor Story gets hurt again and is back off to LA or Texas or Florida or wherever he was rehabbing last year. Like, he left, and at that point, who else is there?
Well, to correct you, Gordo, on that math, according to the Netflix director, he says they get there at 6 a.m. or 9 a.m.
He said Casas gets there at six. He said him specifically. That's another thing. Even the director. Who? Wait, okay, it's Greg. Or Gary?
Greg.
Even old Greg. Even old Greg said Tristan Casas is the first guy at the ballpark. You know who else was the first guy at the ballpark? Dustin Pedroia. Weird comparison, but it's a good trait to share. So I don't know. I like this Casas as leader take. I might lean into it as the season goes on.
I like it, man. As long as the trade rumors stop, because the more, like, if the trade rumors continue, like, he can't lead if he thinks he's going to be out the door in a week. But if he's a part of this team, like, yeah, he's
that
guy.
You can't trade that guy, man. After yesterday, I'm so much more on board with the you can't trade Casas. He was the star of every event, every single event. He's the one who's talking to the most fans. He comes on the radio. He's the one they're focusing on in the documentary. He's on the panel doing that, whatever.
He's on Nesson.
Talking about the doc. Yeah, he's on Nesson in the booth in right field. He's talking to he had the viral video of the girl showing him the home run ball. Who else do you have that's like forward facing? And it's not going to be Rafael Devers, and it's never going to be Rafael Devers. So I hope the Red Sox just leave that idea in the past. Let that guy hit. That's what he's here for. Keep Casas. Let him keep doing his thing and stop being so old and crusty about him being a little different. God forbid a guy wants to be himself. Friggin' weirdos. I don't care that he paints his nails or does earthing, yoga, whatever. He hits tanks. That's what we care about. My God, I'm so sick of it.
I love to hear this from you, Sammy. Do not trade Tristan Casas, for the love of God. The other guy that maybe could develop into more of a leader, they certainly tried to do it last year, is Jarren Duran. But on the topic of Jarren Duran, now you've got the Red Sox kind of dicking him around with his contract for, you know, they couldn't agree to a deal. So now they've filed arb figures to argue in front of an arbiter. And the Red Sox filed at $3.5 million. Duran filed at $4 million. The MLB trade rumor projection, I believe, was $4.9 million. So Duran filed a good amount below what he was projected to get on MLB trade rumors. The Red Sox, at this moment, look like they're about to take him to court, which, I mean, we'll give our takes on this. I just think it's such a bad idea if you let it get to that point. And the Red Sox have a self-proclaimed file and trial policy where they file the numbers. It means we're going to court. We're not going to agree to a deal before then. We're going to court. I hope they break that, because this is a guy in Jarren Duran who has obviously had his mental health struggles. He's struggled with self-confidence. He beats himself up when anything doesn't go right. And, you know, it didn't hinder his season last year. He had a season for the ages, personally, last year. But taking a guy like that to arbitration, a guy who hopefully will be one of the faces of your team for the next at least 4 years, a guy who I just talked about the struggles he has, like, that's not a guy that you want to go and argue in front of him why he's not good enough to receive a $4 million contract. I think you just find some way to meet in the middle, break your policy, or maybe better off, just give him the $500,000 that he's asking for, because you're the Boston Red Sox. You're a big market team. I get that the $500,000 here has implications for future contracts that he's going to earn, because it always builds off of the last contract you get in arbitration. I understand that. But this is not the guy that you should be taking to court. I don't think there's any real guy you should ever be taking to court, but it's not like this is like some middle of the bullpen guy who you don't really care that much about. Like, this is one of the guys of the team. Do not let it get to court with him. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah. The one thing that kind of made me less panicky, I guess, because I agree with everything you said, Gordo. It's a really bad look. $500,000. Who cares? You're the Red Sox. You're worth $200 billion or whatever they're worth. All the seasoned journalists and everyone, they all seem kind of like, oh, whatever. This happens all the time. So that was good to see, just because, you know, to be totally honest, the arbitration process is very confusing. Like, why would the Red Sox not toss $500,000 Jarren Duran's way to avoid a bunch of drama? In my little squirrel brain, it seems really simple. Just give him the money. But, you know, if you look around the league, this is happening with every team pretty much. So in a confusing way, I kind of am not too worried about it. The thing I don't like is the file and trial process thing we learned about, where the Red Sox are very much not, you know, into those like handshake last second agreements, but it has happened in the past. So we'll see. Hopefully it's a big nothing burger. We don't even remember this a month from now.
Yeah. And we won't if they don't go to court.
Yeah. And I'm with you guys. Like, I would $500,000. I would just give it to appease one of your star players. I guess, get where they're coming from, because I get how over there, because he's controlled through 25, 26, 27, 28. So that's 4 years of team control. And whatever they pay him this year is just going to kind of compound over itself over that time. So, you know, by the end of year four, maybe they're paying a couple million more than they would have. I get that. But also, like, he did you a favor by not filing it, you know, 4.5 or 5. Like, what he was projected to. He probably filed for 4 thinking he wasn't going to go to arbitration because he filed way under. So I don't know. Like, it happens a lot. I don't think it's going to be like a drama thing. I mean, the Cubs are taking Kyle Tucker to court. So I don't think it's going to
be. But like, the difference. Sorry, Pat.
Do it to appease your star player, you know?
The difference I see between this and the Kyle Tucker thing, though, is that that's a team, like, obviously Kyle Tucker is a superstar, but that's a team that has like he has no relationships there to this point because he's new and he's going to free agency regardless. With Durant, like, and it's this year. Like, this is a 1 year thing. Like, I don't think he can get butthurt because he really just doesn't know anyone. With Durant, it's like we see relationships, we see players talk about this process and how it severed their relationship. Like, I remember Corbin Burns a couple years ago, like very yeah. pointed. Like, we know how Mookie Betts felt when the Red Sox took him to arbitration. That strained the relationship there. They took Eduardo Rodriguez to arbitration. Like, we see this process, and I agree with what they're saying. It's a shitty process, and I wish it were different. But it strains relationships if you let it get to court. I just,
who do you guys think is more likely to cave? Jaren Duran or the Red Sox? If one of them, who do you think would come forward first and be like, all right, I'll take it?
I bet the Red Sox would, like, if they settle, I bet it's over 3.75 mil. Like, it would be closer to Durant's end, is my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see Durant. I don't know. It's tough. I don't even like thinking about it because it's the Corbin Burns example that I always think about when him talking in spring training with his man bun. And he was like you could tell it was his last year in Milwaukee when that happened. Yeah. I don't want.
Oh,
Jaren
yeah,
Durant
it was over.
Jaren Duran has this kind of like love fest going on with Boston right now, where he's interacting with the fans like him. You know, he made a mistake this year with his comments that he made at that fan, but like he came forward, he apologized, he did the necessary things he needed to do to get past that.
He handled it great, by the way.
Yeah, he couldn't have handled it better. Hopefully, it never happens again. But, like, I don't want to – you got a guy, and, Gordo, you mentioned this. I don't want to hang on this too much, but he's been very open about his mental health struggles. I don't want a guy who's comfortable enough talking about that to then go into court, and the Red Sox will rip him to shreds. That's what arbitration's like. They take you to court, and they tell you why you suck and you're not worth this much money. It's not a good thing. So I hope one of the – it's $500,000 in a billion-dollar – industry we're talking about. Just give him the money. It's so tired. Ugh.
I'm trying to find the quote. Okay, here you go. The thing that scares me the most is that in the criteria of like what the arbiter has to take into account to determine which side he picks, it's like it's obviously like the player's past performance, and it's like kind of the entire body of their career, not just like the platform year. And like comparative salaries and stuff. But it also says the existence of any physical or mental defects on the part of the player. And
right.
I do not want the Red Sox going to court and saying that Jaren Duran is worth less because of his mental health struggles. If we get word that they do that, and like there's no evidence to say that they would hammer that home. But like if they're really hell bent on saving the $500,000, like what makes you think they wouldn't?
That'd be gross. They're gonna talk about that. They're gonna talk about him, you know, using the slur to the fan, and they're going to talk about Colorado, the article we read from Mass Live about how Jaren was very, very aggressive with all that. And, you know, teams don't want that. So I don't know. That's why I think maybe it would be Duran's side that would come forward and be like, all right, we don't want to do this. It's $500,000. Jaren's going to get paid eventually. He's already making millions of dollars. Like it's, you know, millions of dollars, not like Rafael Devers money, but still very good money.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. This gets into a lot of the off the field kind of personal stuff, and I feel like that's just not a good place to be if you're the Red Sox right now.
It's a scary place. You just got to hope that they don't let it get where it looks like it's headed. But we got to wrap soon. Any enough said from you guys before we get out of here?
Yes, I hope that during the early and late parts of the regular season. In the playoffs, if the Red Sox get to the playoffs in 2025, I hope they do what they did at Fenway Fest on the concourse, where they basically insulate it and make the entire place 70 degrees. That was amazing.
That was great.
I've never felt so like warm and cozy in a non-summertime Fenway like that. So, yeah, this is another reason to go to Fenway Fest if you want to feel space heaters in Fenway. Very exciting.
I did like that. Pat, you got enough said?
Think you
muted, buddy?
That.
Yes, I was. I went to college. Let me just get this off my chest now. If you go to Costco on a Sunday, you better be prepared to hustle your ass off. The amount of people who are just blind, meandering, pushing a cart in the middle of aisles. I was about to play bumper cars. I was about to take knees out. I'm like, I got stuff to do. You know what Kraft cheese is. Quit picking it up and reading the label. You know what it is. Put it away or put it in the carriage. Took me so much longer than it should have. So if you're going to Costco on the weekend, A, you're insane. I needed stuff. I know. I'm insane. B, people need stuff. Move.
You're like Larry David. This is like a Larry David rant. Be like, oh, people walk so slow in Costco.
Like, I mean, like, the carts in Costco are about 2.5 cars wide. There were people not only in the middle of the aisle, their carts crooked, like taking up into the entire lane. Just like, what the hell is milk? What is that?
And like, Matt, how many booms do you give Sunday Costco?
Oh, I don't even put the arm up. I don't even put the arm up for the boom. Zero.
No big booms for Costco?
No big booms Dude, Costco is the greatest place on earth.
How many big booms do you... All right, what about Fenway Fest? How many big booms do you give Fenway Fest?
I'm not giving it a doom, but I'll give it...
Is that a thing?
Yeah,
it's... Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've never seen a doom. I need to watch more Big Justice, AJ. Yeah. I love those guys.
Four big booms for me. Boom, 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 boom.
Nice.
I'll go two. Boom, boom.
Nice. Thank you. I just wanted someone to yell boom. That's I like wholesome internet folk like those two. Anyway, Gordo, you got anything good? I think I know where you're going with your Nuff said.
I don't think you do. Where do you think I'm going? Well, first off, I ran into Danny Santana in a Costco once. I had to get that off my chest. What do you think my Nuff said is?
I think you're going to talk about Vrabel.
I'm not going to talk about Vrabel. I like the hire, but I'm not going to talk about Vrabel.
Right, we all like the hire. Thumbs up.
Yep, thumbs up.
All right, one big boom for Mike Vrabel.
Boom. No, my Nuff said is that when Jeff Hoffman signed with the Blue Jays and Chris Cotillo came out with the report that the Red Sox are telling agents of like the sort of middle tier and bottom tier free agents that they have bigger pursuits and they're trying to aim at the bigger money things before going back down to the middle of the market. I didn't know what to think of that because like you hear that and you want it to be encouraging, but the top of the market is guys like Bregman and Tanner Scott. And like maybe they're more in on Tanner Scott than we know because we really haven't gotten huge details on his market outside of the fact that he met with the Mets. A lot of the news on him was old, but I didn't know whether to be encouraged or not there because just like with Bregman, we hear such, I don't want to say disinterest, but like lack of aggressiveness. So if they're looking at bigger money pursuits and Bregman isn't one of them, I really don't know what it is. Just quick yes or no. Like, is that report even remotely encouraging to you guys or is it just move along?
Yeah, it's encouraging because it's probably not coming from the Red Sox. It's someone telling Cotillo what the Red Sox are saying. Yeah, so that's encouraging. That's a legit report.
Pat, you encouraged or no? Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit encouraged because I feel like if they weren't planning on, you know, making a bigger splash, Randall Grichuk would be wearing a Red Sox uniform already. So the fact that they're still kind of treading those deeper waters is definitely encouraging and way different compared to years prior. So, yeah.
I want Joe to bleep every mention of Randall Grichuk just because I can't do another season of it's always a corner outfield white dude who strikes out a lot and hits home runs. It's like, and everyone goes, oh, this guy's a ball player. I don't want that anymore. Give me Alex Bregman.
We'll end the show on that. Make Bregman an offer.
Put it on make Bregman an offer. Shout out Tyler for a great sign. Probably my favorite sign since the Dom Smith sign.
Shout out at Ojale Factory. That's his Twitter at. But we're going to wrap there. That's a wrap for episode 169 of Playtesty. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Before you go about your day, listen to your next podcast, whatever. You can listen to our radio hits with the Pat with Roman and Christian, and mine with Casas, I believe, are both on the Baseballs and Boring feed. Not sure about yours, Sammy. Did you get tagged in anything from Rob? Did he put Liam Hendricks on the feed or no?
I didn't get tagged. I don't go on Instagram very much though, so I didn't see anything on Twitter. But I'll check.
Okay, so it might have just been the later two. But regardless, make that your next listen. But we appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember, subscribe, rate 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a comment. Find us on YouTube on the WEI page. Got the Playtesty playlist there. So subscribe to WEI. Hit the thumbs up on all of our videos. We really appreciate it when you guys do that. And you can find us on the social accounts at Playtesty on both Twitter and Instagram. We'll have some awesome videos coming out from our time at Fenway Fest coming out on those accounts soon. But till then, till our next pod, we appreciate you guys tuning into this one. Thanks for, 169 episodes of Playtesty. Wow, we really appreciate all the support that you guys give. We talk to so many awesome people that listen to the show and like the show. And, you know, your guys' encouragement and support is so appreciated. But till next episode, we'll be back in here soon. This is Playtesty episode 169. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.